But we are blessed that she is here with us today. So please welcome back to her Unity of New York home, my good buddy and friend. It's really awesome.
Let's give Reverend Britt some love, shall we? Wow, and all of you, and your team, and everybody, you know, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes for you to show up today and have an experience. So let's get everybody a great time. I want to thank my wife for being with me. She keeps me on track. So. So the theater usher, we love them and we rely upon them. We look for the jacket, we look for the name tag, and often they have the flashlight. So a young man is in training to be a theater usher, and his manager comes up to him and he says, "Son, are you getting it down? Do you know what you're supposed to do? Like, what if there's a fire? What is it that you're going to do then?" He said, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'm going to sit on the back and I'll be out in just a few seconds." He was wearing a name tag, but yet he did not realize within that name tag came a responsibility. In Scripture, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be your name." There is a responsibility that comes with your name. And with this being the holiday season, not the holidays, D-A-Z-E season, there is a responsibility that comes with your name. And if you transcend the idea more than the fact that you're being born, because as Mark Twain would say, there's two important days in a person's life, the day you were born and the day you know why. And what I would call to you is that the why changes all the time, hopefully, because that means that you are being born more than one time in this incarnation. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so there comes a responsibility, but when you think of the Christmas season, hold in the space that you were sent. Say out loud with me, God sent me.
God sent me.
Isn't that empowering? Let's feel it again. God sent me. So I have a responsibility with my name tag and how I live, how I model, how I teach. Because at any given time, someone is watching, are they not? Or an experience is waiting to be had by us. And we are not here to have our experiences. We're here to show our experiences, how we can be in the midst of them. Yes? There's a story of a mom, she's looking outside, and she's watching her little boy preach to the cat. And he's just going on and on and on. And in a minute, she goes by again, and there's the cat, and the little boy's ducking the cat in water, and the cat's going, "Look at now, look at now." And she goes, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm baptizing the cat." And she said, "Well, cats don't like that." He said, "Well, she should have thought about that before she joined my church." You know, when we talk about unity, we are representing a very strong name. Where we see a condition and we are healed. Where we look at the weather and we can change the weather by the power of our minds. Where we look at situations and we can transform them. And we declare and we demand and we step into a new place because we know that we are in the presence of pure being. And in the presence of pure being, we create and we manifest with divine power right here and right now. Are you claiming your name tag? In your relationships, in the situations and the circumstances that are around you. You know, people spend millions and millions and millions of dollars every year. If I could just find my purpose. If I could just find my purpose. Well, I've come to say that to me that's a glorified excuse. If I could just find my purpose. Well, good luck with that, right? It's knowing that you are the purpose. And everywhere you go, it doesn't require a lot. You don't even have to have on your reader glasses. Everywhere you go, there's something that can have your name on it if you let it. There's a deeper call. There's something wanting your attention, and that's your purpose, because that's the reason that you're waiting in the line at Whole Foods. That's the reason that you're in that particular cab or Uber at that particular time. And when you live in that, because purpose is not a career, it's not a business card, it's not a license to do something, it's about giving your permission to say, here I am, a brand new day, I've been sent, what am I going to be used for? More than just words, more than just platitudes, use me today, here I am, I'm ready. One of my best days was a few months ago when my little goddaughter, she's 4 years old now, her name is Miracle, and so she came and found me on the spiritual campus. And she said, you've got to go with me, and you've got to go now. This is very important. You've got to go with me. And so we walk into our social hall. And she said, see, over there, there's a spider. We got to catch it, and we got to save it and take it outside. I went, yes, yes. She's been watching me. Her mom gets so aggravated with me. She said, Temple, she saves everything now, even the roaches. We gotta save it. We gotta save it all. You see, we gotta do it all. But that may not be your thing, but we all are called to what is happening right now. In Florida, a couple of times a year, the conch fritters roll up to high tide. And it takes them up so high, the little shells, you know, the conch fritter, you know what that is. So they roll up on the beach, and it's so high that they can't get back. So many of them will die of the waiting, and they become like drowned in the mud. Or a bird will come along and cause it an easy meal, you see. And so for whatever reason, it seems like when those hundreds of conch fritters come up, I happen to be on the beach that particular time. And so I've got my hat, I've got my cap, I've got my friends helping. It's like, we got to get them back out to the water. So this man comes up to me and he goes, what are you doing? And I'm thinking, well, what does it look like? You know? And he goes, no, what are you doing? He said, you're taking these things back out to the water. I said, yeah, because the birds are going to eat them. You know, and the birds can work a little harder for their food. And they'll die. He goes, well, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? Seems like a lot. I said, well, we do what we can. So I'm going along. So then he goes up to my friends and starts asking them the same questions. So then he comes up to me and he said, thank you for doing what you're doing. You're a good person. I said, you know, I appreciate you saying that, but good is for Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy. I really feel like this is part of my responsibility of being on Earth. It's part of what we do. It doesn't really relate to good. It's part of what we are in together. Do you understand that? At a deeper level, it's what is that experience. To say I love God and to not love all that God has created is like staying in a 5-star hotel and never leaving your room. To say you love God, it's imperative to feel the energy and being alive, to feel the vibration of what life is. You love all living things with a sense of sacredness, be it people, be it experience, be it whatever that your Creator created. It's important to embrace that there was a reason, even though sometimes you might not know the reason. You know, you might look at a member of your family and say, I'm still trying to figure out the reason. But ultimately, the Creator had a greater reason in mind for all that was created. There's a story of a man that was hired to paint the white line in the road. And they gave him a paintbrush, and they gave him a bucket of paint. And so the first day, the foreman, he's quite impressed, because he goes and he paints 2 miles of line. Wow, nobody's ever done that great. And the second day, he paints a mile of the line. And the third day, he only paints a quarter of a mile. And the foreman said, "What's going on? You were really impressing us at first because you were painting and you were doing such a great job." He said, "Well, I just kept getting further and further away from my bucket." If I lost you, it's on Facebook, I understand. The bucket of understanding, the bucket of consciousness. You learn to listen daily. That's why we call ourselves practicing. You learn to listen daily to your language. You learn to listen daily to your conversations, to the space that you hold. There's a big difference between our personality and our psychology and our soul path. We could get all caught up in our personality and all the energy of that and those other people out there and that experience and that going on. But our soul, if we allow ourselves to understand our soul and to accept that our soul is on a journey, knowing what it is to tend to and knowing what it is to spend its time with, we become knowing in that vibration that we have all the energy that we need. As Howard Thurman says, and I paraphrase, stop trying to figure out what the world needs. Stop trying to say that you have the answer or look for the answer of what the world needs. Become alive. Because what the world needs is more people to be alive. And if that were just your focus every day, what do I need to be more alive? Energetically. What is it that I need? First of all, to claim the space, right? First of all, to say, this is my name tag. Just like my name, energy is my game. Can you feel that? Can you get that? Energy isn't relying upon where you live, the kind of weather, the temperatures, the traffic, the whatever. Energy comes from an inner knowing of a vibration of infinite creation. So if I am not energized, and feeling that bring it on, for some reason, I am lapsing in, forgetting about the fact that there is an infinite law that is immersed through me. It does not have any memory. It's brand new, just like the cells in my body. And I am here to live out loud. We are here to live out loud. You see, anytime we say, it's that person over there, I was doing pretty well, but, you know, that guy over here, or this condition, you know, this is happening, that is happening. Anytime we are still at the age past 30 that we're blaming our parents, or we're blaming someone else, we are admitting out loud that we are inadequate. Ooh. Anytime, with our knowledge and who we are, and Unity students, that we talk about that person and that circumstance, we are admitting out loud that we are inadequate. A lot of times in New York, people talk to me about the good old days. You know, Raymond Charles Barker, Emmett Fox, Eric Butterworth. I think what people are saying is they miss leaders holding people accountable for a teaching that's here to offer the world a whole new answer. Yes?
Yes.
A vibration, a set of principles that we hold ourselves to a higher standard. We're not the average. Average is the best of the worst and the best of the whatever. That's the average. The best of the worst and the worst of the best. We're not here to be average. We're here to magnify and glorify that the kingdom is within. Not just a tiny piece of it, right? But the kingdom is within. So we clarify this time and this season to let go of any woundology that we're still carrying. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Let go of any woundology that we're still carrying, of how someone along the way didn't accept you, how someone along the way rejected you, how someone along the way failed you. If you're still carrying that, you are doing it to yourself. You're rejecting you. You are failing you. You are abandoning you. And you're still living out that sacred story over and over and over again. You're living that. And the truth be known, had you not been where you were at that particular time, they wouldn't have done it to you in the first time, because you would say, you can't touch this.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You would have held a much higher ground. My mother, I'm having the greatest experience with my mom, because for the first time in 40 years, we live in the same city. Not only do we live in the same city, but we live 527 steps from where the other one lives. And so I am just getting to know her in a lot of different ways, and I'm sure that mutually she's getting to know me. Well, all my life, I have heard that I am part Indian, Seminole. And so since I was a kid and I met my great-grandmother, we were close, and she was 50% at least, if not more, Seminole. And that was our family conversation. She would go on and on about it. So when I first got involved in shamanism, my mom would say, well, that's because, Temple, you're Indian. And when I would wear a piece of Mexican jewelry or turquoise, she would say, it's because you're Indian. And that would be what she would make my story, right? I love chanting, that's because you're Indian. So we're all excited because now they do the DNA. And, so we can't wait, and we send off our ancestry.com or whatever. Well, mine comes back. I am all European, and I am not one piece of Indian. Not one piece of Indian, okay? And my mom's brother, well, he took the test too, not one piece of Indian. My mother was, it looked like this. I can't believe that they lied to us all these years. We've been lying to people all our lives. We've been saying that we're Indian, and we're not Indian at all. We don't have 1 ounce. I'm so mad, she would say. I can't believe they did that. But I think about that on a deeper level. I think about the stories I was told when I was a little girl, that I was gay and I was going to hell. I think about the stories that I was shared as a little girl. You can't be you're too much. You talk too much. I think about the school teacher in the sixth grade that told my parents I was never going to amount to anything because I talked too much. I think about all the stories that I bought that were lies. I think about all the labels and the tattoos and the things that people said were absolutely not my truth at all. And I think about, through the years, the truths that I continued to buy that weren't really real and didn't even belong to me, you see. I hold that. I think about the grace of a wonderful teaching named Unity. I don't know why people aren't standing in the lobby to listen to these messages and the music every week. All I know is it requires people to invite them to come. But this teaching and these principles are so profound. They have brought so many of us from a condition of non-life to being birthed to something greater, to the willingness to wear a name tag and speak and say, here is how we believe. Part of your work for the rest of the time of the season is to look at, where have you been told an untruth, and what can you do to make a greater truth in your life? Where were you told an untruth, and how did you believe it? Was it a husband, a former relationship, a someone in your life, a teacher, an experience, religiosity? What kind of untruth have you accepted that is causing you pain? Because things that are not true not only cause pain, long-term they become chronic, and long-term they reap suffering. Are you with me? And so it's looking at that space with the place energetically, what is true for me today? This day, you have an empty, dry erase. This is the day that the law is making. The law is always working. And for the people that say the law isn't working, It's working for them by not working. It's always working. And so this day, you began with a clean, dry erase. But you have the freedom, and I have the freedom, to write on that dry erase. We can put a story of 20 years ago if we want, right? We can keep talking about yesterday and what happened, you know, the other day. But I love that Raymond Charles Barker said, yesterday ended last night. It ended last night. Why do I care about that? Love being here with all of you. New York has such a special place to our heart. Barbara's sons live here and our family lives here. It's a beautiful place. What you have going is profound. Remember that. Hold that near and dear in your heart as you walk around with your name tag on the subway and every form of travel. Stand tall in what you believe and know. Celebrate when somebody says, what are you up to? Are you doing CBD all, or what are you doing on the side? Because you sure are a happy person, and I want more of what you have, you see. A man called a female repair person to take care of the refrigerator. It had been broken for quite some time. She walked in. She assessed the situation. She walks over to the refrigerator, and she kicks it. She kicked it real hard. When she did, it started running again. He said, oh, thank you, I'm so happy. Let me have my invoice. She said, well, it's $75. $75, it only took you a minute. He said, well, let me see this invoice. So she gives it to him, and it says, kicking the refrigerator, $5. Knowing where to kick it is $70. You with me? It's time for us to kick. It's time for us to rise. It's time for us to roar, like Zoe sang so beautifully. It's time to face whatever it is in your life and to say, ha, you made me and I'm grateful. And I'm growing more because of you. And I thank you, because the presence of life is surely in this place. And the presence of life is surely in my space. And therefore, I am here to make a bold and mighty noise. Joy to the world, for the world is here, and the world is through you, and the world is through me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for reminding us that we are not here to be average. We're here in our magnificence. We are here to express that magnificence. As we prepare to take this powerful message, these powerful truths and reminders to that deeper place. Ray, would you play Holy, Holy instead of I Release? And release. We know how to release. Right now, we have been reminded our name tag is holy. You are holy. I am holy. We are holy. And if you know it, let's know it together in song. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are
you are holy. get an inventory of your body from the head through your neck and shoulders, through your hips and legs and feet, and anywhere you feel any tension, breathe directed into that area. And feel the peace and gratitude for being here now and having the opportunity to come apart for a moment. This second Sunday of Advent, the theme is peace. And in scripture, words attributed to Jesus say, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." No matter what is happening in your world, no matter what has been said, no matter what event has unfolded, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, the blessing is we have the ability to choose peace. We have an ability to choose peace that surpasses all human understanding, and that lets me know it is an otherworldly peace. It is a peace that flows from within out. Each of us can grab hold of that peace, laying claim to that peace, because we know it is an inside job. We can take a signal from the inside, the divinity that lives us, that breathes us every moment of every day is ours for the accepting, because it always is. There is nothing required, nothing that each of us feels that we need that is not already provided. It is for us to know and to stand firm in that truth. So we know the peace is not just a word. It is a way of being. When each of us claims the peace we have been created to be and rest in that peace, then wherever our footsteps lead us, we are peace in expression. We are peace in action. And we affect the atmosphere around us. So whatever is ours to do, wherever we're led, be it in the midst of chaos and confusion, we can take a breath and we can exhale into the peace that we are. We can choose to be still and know. And in this silence, let us know, let us remember, let us reclaim the peace that we are, and let it wash over us like a warm waterfall that cleanses and rejuvenates and invigorates us. We can lean back into that peace that is beyond all understanding, and let it enfold us. Let us keep our minds on the peace within. And remember in silence that all things are indeed working together for our good as we be.
is but the song we sing. Fear's the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. No, the dove is on the wing, and we need not know why. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try and love one another right now. Some will come and some will go. We will surely pass. When the one who's left us here returns for us at last, we are but a righteous light fading.